Start making plans now to join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th, at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Dage from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked, and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio. And, of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and a big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late-night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Seating is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com/halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular.
Let me ride on the road test one more time. Let me ride on the wall of death one more time. You can waste your time on the other rides. You can insist in me rest to be the light. Oh, let me take my chances on the wall of death. You can go with the kids and people in the crooked house.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
God, that guy doesn't sound very healthy at all, does he?
Not at all.
Oh, no, not at all. Definitely. No. He's known better days.
Yeah. Well, guys, that guy's cracking up. Now,
yeah,
he's happy the other guy's not feeling too good, I guess. I don't know what's going on here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I think you guys can hear that wonderful voice in the background is none other than Lorraine Warren. We love having Lorraine on the show.
She's such a sweetheart.
Oh, yes, she is. And you see,
oh, you're so kind.
You are so kind.
Well, in case you guys out there have, you know, have not listened to Ghostly Talk ever, which a lot of people haven't, I think. But one of the things we've talked about here is this event that we're going to be going to in just a couple of days. Actually, we're going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be leaving out here very early. We're leaving out Wednesday night to get there, you know, like late Wednesday, and spend all weekend out of State College, Pennsylvania, for UNIVCON 2007, UNIVCON 6, and there are just a ton of people going to be going to that. You know, this has been kind of a fun night too. I got to mention we've got to talk to some really fun people. We got to talk to Christy and Amy. We just talked to Troy Taylor a few minutes ago, who, you know, we're talking about his conference. You know, I know for a fact that we're going to be getting emails like, "Well, I guess all you guys do is talk about conferences and stuff like that." Well, you know what? You know,
we go to a lot of them,
and you know what? Come the end of October, it's going to kind of slow down for the rest of the year too. So. The people that I'm just trying to save myself some useful bandwidth on email.
Because it's coming.
Don't send it, because I'm telling you right now, this, you know, I know people are going to be like, "Oh, you can talk all the conference." Yeah, well, we're having a good time doing it, and people are going there. We're meeting all these wonderful people as a result of them listening to the show. I hope they're listening to the show going, you know, we got to check this thing out. So
Absolutely. Hopefully
we're helping these people out for doing these conferences. But UNIVCON has a host of people that are going to be coming there. One of our people that we're going to be talking to in a half an hour. I talked to in a half an hour.
Yes.
Is Doug Bradley, Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yes.
Completely just blew me away. You're going to hear that that interview in about a half an hour here. But Chip Coffey's going to be there, another friend of ours. But I got to name the person, obviously.
Oh, he's a good guy. I worked with him in Maine.
Oh, yeah. Chip is the man. We are looking forward to finally meeting Chip.
I worked with him in Maine. He's a real decent guy.
Well, you know,
we're
looking forward to meeting you also,
there
at UNIVCON.
Thank you.
We're really
my paranormal idol.
No, seriously, we were really looking forward to finally meeting you, Lorraine.
Well, thank you so much, dear. I look forward to being there. My son-in-law does, too. You know, Tony's been working with us for 25 years, and, God, he's a godsend for me now, you know, because it would be almost impossible to take, well, you can see what my schedule is.
Oh, yeah.
And to keep that schedule, you know, and try to do it all by yourself, it would be almost impossible.
Well, I do know. I do know, Lorraine, and I try to keep up myself with the schedule we have now, it seems. And, you know, the thing is, it's self-inflicted for us. We want to go here. We want to go everywhere we can. So we just inflict all this pain on ourselves with it and no sleep. But, you know, we think it's all totally worth it. And I think it's worth it for you, too.
I do, too, hon. And, you know, just like tonight now. Tonight, I was tired. I was darn tired, you know. And I thought, you know, this is the last day off that you're going to have until November the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a haunting, and I went, and Tony went with me. we went. We just got home.
Oh, did you?
Wow.
We just got home. Our daughter waited here. You know, we have guests visiting from out of state. And our daughter waited here. She didn't go with us. But it was a fascinating haunting. He just got back from Afghanistan, the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hugged the guy and kissed him and thanked him.
Well, this was,
you know,
you're saying that this was a haunted place you guys went to?
The mansion. Yes, a haunted home up in the valley area. Here.
Okay.
And it was, it's a young couple, and, you know, she's been staying there alone. She just got back from Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
hoping he don't get deployed again
away. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he went on to tell things. He said, they're frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him. I thought, oh, my God, what he has been through, and this is frightening. He says, you know, you can't do nothing about it. He's referring to when you're over there,
mm-hmm.
you have weapons, and there's no weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, to see that hand materialized like that, and he says, I bolted off the couch only to see that figure walk right down the hallway. It's, they're really, they were lying in bed,
mm-hmm.
the two of them were just lying in bed. They were both dressed and just lying down on the bed,
mm-hmm.
and the bed started to vibrate, and then it started to rock with them on it.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible. Then he said that he got home the other day, and he said, I still had my uniform on, but I was tired. He says, I laid across the bed, and he says, the noises. He says, it wasn't even dark yet. He says, doesn't this stuff happen in the dark?
No.
Not always.
Mm-hmm.
And he was demonstrating, like, with the cabinets, what they were doing, you know, what the cabinet doors were doing. And then there's a big, huge, the one wall in the bedroom is just all those, the sliding doors, you know, for the closets.
Yeah.
They can watch them open. And it's like somebody pushed them open and then slammed them with all their might closed.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
They watched this. They watched this going on. They had changes, temperature, things. And, you know, it's just, they're such a decent couple, the two of them. You know, just with this darling little dog. And the dog, oh, when she leaves the dog home there alone, and came home the other day, the little dog was so terrified, it came across the floor to her on its stomach.
Mm.
Was so terrified of what, you know,
yeah.
is going on there. They watched their apartment, the condo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-story. And they watched from the second floor big window a head materialize.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my. Yeah. It just went on and on and on, the stuff that has been going on in there. It's really very, very frightening. I feel for them. I was glad I went. I was very, very happy that I went there. Yeah, maybe I was tired, but something just told me to go. I didn't know the guy just came back from Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought that they were, you know, a young couple. I talked mostly to her,
mm-hmm.
on the telephone. But when I went, I was happy that I went, happy that hopefully I'll be, you know, able to get them the help that they need. Oh, I know I'll be able to get them the help that they need.
Well, you're Lorraine Warren. Yes, you
right.
can.
You just snapped my fingers,
there you
right?
No, you're Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, that's I know. That is not how it works. No, that is definitely not how it works. But yes, each case is always different. People are unique, you know, and it's fascinating. It really is fascinating, you know, to talk to these people, hear their reports,
mm-hmm.
and above all, you sense, I sense what's there. When I walked around the house, I knew what was there. It's high energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're afraid to tell the couple in one way. You don't want to intimidate them and frighten them any more than they already are.
Yeah.
And so they're both Roman Catholic. So mm-hmm. because of that, you know, we'll be able to hopefully get the church involved in getting the blessed or exercise, whatever we're going to do, whatever is going to be required,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you start with a blessing,
right.
you know, you
mm-hmm.
start with that. And then if it escalates more. Now, this dark figure that first only the hand part materialized and then the full figure, that is the first in the house. Up to this point, it has been all noises. And before he came home, she was paying for this place, but spending most of the time with relatives.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness.
Because she was too afraid to stay. Any background check that they've already, I haven't had time for any background check on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a very, very serious fire there in that area, and a number of firemen were burnt. They were burnt. They're burnt to death.
Mm-hmm.
In the fire. So there were deaths there in mm-hmm. that particular area. So that means there were tragic deaths, and tragedy creates the ghost syndrome,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's the type of thing that I'm going to be talking about a great deal. Well, not only talking about, we're going to be showing evidence of at State College.
Mm-hmm.
We'll definitely be showing a lot of evidence of that at State College. And then, you know, Bonnie and Scott, this thing that we do every year, I think this is our 27th year of doing this.
Yeah.
And it's a dinner seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is show the public all our evidence. We show all the evidence. In other words, we show exorcism. We show levitation. We mm-hmm. show materializations. We show all of this type of evidence at this dinner seminar. You can go on our website. Go on our website at warrens.net.
Yeah, it's Warren.
And you can, if anybody really, really that fascinated by the work and wants to spend, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 o'clock at night watching all of this, you know, go on the website, and you can register right online. You can do the whole thing right online.
What's the
you
date for that?
The 28th. The 28th of this month.
Oh,
Sunday the 28th. But we extended the cutoff date because so much was coming in. So the cutoff date, they have extended to the 24th. So they still have time to register for that.
And that sounds like a really cool event to go to check out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. It's a real cool thing to go to, you know. And now, you know, also like being affiliated with Ryan and Sergi and these kids, I love this. Do you know how many universities that I have been asked to partake of their paranormal clubs? I've never felt such mm-hmm. goodness from kids that really want to do things the right way as they do.
Well, they're a great bunch of guys, I got to say. We've been working with all the people from UNIFCON, such as Sergi and Ryan and Topher and all those guys over there for like the last four or five months. I mean closely. Like, we're on the phone every week working stuff out together.
Me too. That's what I'm doing because I've been filming with them.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been filming with them, with you know, with A&E in Maine and Pennsylvania and New York. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing all of that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, even this case I went on tonight, you know, would be ideal case, an ideal place to actually mm-hmm. go to and film in, you know. But, I mean, right now, when I went there, I was more interested in trying to bring some peace to that poor couple. You know, I didn't, you know, really try to sign them up for anything right away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that when you have to, they, you know, you can suggest something to them and then let them think it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they want to do it or not, you can't really pressure people into doing that.
Well, it sounds like that gentleman's been through enough already and
yeah,
to come home to
absolutely.
This. And
no, that's why I hugged him, Scott. That's why I kissed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thanked him, you know. And I thought, my God, you poor kid. You know, you're just getting home from being over there for a year
mm-hmm.
and coming into this house. You know, how terrible.
Yeah.
How terrible. And you can see what effect it's having on them. Because, they feel helpless. Like they can't do anything about it.
Right.
Or they don't know what to do about it. You know? So, anyway, I was happy that I could, you know, give them some peace. That's what I was happy about. And I gave them my cell phone. So no matter what part of the country I'm in,
mm-hmm.
I can stay in touch with them. You
and
know?
That's and why that's... I love you. That's why I say you're a sweetheart.
Well, you can't leave. You know, when you're going to be, you know, going away. And, you know, sure, I have people living in my home while I'm gone to take care of my home. My pets and all, but on the other hand, they don't know anything about my work,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, what good is it for them to call here?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, and that way I can talk to them, you know, on the phone, and I can talk to whoever I need. You know, I can't go and meet with anybody, but I can, you know, I can get a lot done. Thank God for cell phones.
Yeah.
Thank God for cell phones, that's for sure.
Well,
but I'm looking forward to being there, you know. I mean, for Friday and Saturday. We're going to be arriving on Thursday, but we'll be there for Friday and Saturday programs. And I really look forward to it, and Tony does, too.
Well, we're looking forward
really
to meeting all you guys out there. We're going to be coming out. We're going to be out there, like I said. We're going to be out there Wednesday for some reason.
Oh, wow. You're
well,
getting
there
you ahead
see,
of us.
You mentioned technology, though, Lorraine. And see, that's the beauty of technology because Doug and I, we both, you know, we work in similar fields in the IT industry. And we can both work from pretty much anywhere we want on the planet now because of technology. So
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, we're able to go out and do whatever we want and still get our jobs done, still make our money and all that fun stuff and still be out to
It's wonderful.
So we're looking
it
forward
really,
to
it. It really is, dear.
Yeah, it's going to be a great thing. Unfortunately, we do have to. We're at the bottom of the hour, but I want to mention this again, though. We're going to be meeting you at UNIFCON, Lorraine. You're one of the featured speakers at UNIFCON, and we're so looking forward to seeing your presentation also and seeing all the stuff that we're all very familiar with the work you've done, but it's going to be really great to finally see you speak and get to shake your hand. You know, hey, I'll take a hug from you any day too, Lorraine.
Me too.
Oh, I'll have one ready for
you.
Oh,
well, thank you so much.
You too, Bonnie.
Excellent.
And also,
yes.
For you guys,
I look forward. And you know, 9 times out of 10, Father LeBar is going to be there.
Oh yeah, I heard about that too.
Father LeBar is the exorcist, you know, who he worked with in New York under Cardinal O'Connor, and he's going to, you know, be there too. And I'm very, very, very happy.
It's going to be a really cool event. And also the Halloween dinner seminar, too, to check this out.
Oh, it's fascinating, honey. That is really a real fascinating event. And it sells out every year. It sells out every year. It does. And it's just a fun way to be able to actually educate the public and show the amount of evidence that you have to have in order to document a case.
And that's not what it's all about.
Not walk into a house. Oh, things move around here. Oh, let us do a few little EVPs and take some photographs. Oh, you got ghosts! Well, what are you going to do about it?
You know, tell them, Lorraine. You tell them.
So that's why working with these young people, closure is what's important. Closure.
Right, absolutely.
Closure is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You're going there. They know they have ghosts. They know something paranormal is going on. But mm-hmm. what are you going to do about it?
Yes, exactly.
And that's what we bring, and that's the evidence that we show, whether it's an exorcism of a farmer where his head splits open on one side, or you see these girls on one of our cases in the UA, in the UK,
mm-hmm.
where they levitate and crisscross in the air, and one of them on two occasions dematerialized for 17 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That to gain that kind of evidence is fascinating.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to be there out, and like I said, at Unicom, we do have to go to break, unfortunately, Lorraine. But thank you thank you for so much being on the show. We thank you so much. We always love having you on the
Absolutely.
Show, Lorraine. And we'll be hang on the line
I
for
look
one.
Forward.
Don't leave us yet. Just stay on the line for 1 second, okay, Lorraine?
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Coming up, guys. Doug Bradley.
Yes.
Wow, Doug Bradley. Pre-taped, sorry. But it was still pretty cool. Check it out. This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Bye. Doug Bradley is probably most famous for his role as Hellraiser's Pinhead, Dark Prince of Pain, Angel of Suffering, and Leviathan's Lord of the Damned. As well as the Hellraiser series, Doug has starred in Clive Barker's Nightbreed alongside his friend Robert Englund, Freddy from A Nightmare on Elm Street, in The Killer Tongue, and in two award-winning short horror films, On Edge and Red Lines. Doug also voiced and executive produced the anime feature Dominator with a sequel, Dominator X, in development. Other film and TV appearances include Inspector Morse in the movies The Prophecy, Uprising, and Pumpkinhead, Ashes to Ashes. Doug's theater work includes his one-man show, An Evening with Death. He has also showed us his literary skills in the insightful and entertaining book Behind the Mask of the Horror Actor. With that, I'd like to welcome, I'd also like to mention that his website, everything Doug Bradley on the web, is www.dougbradley.com. With that, I'd like to welcome Doug Bradley to Ghostly Talk. How are you doing tonight, Doug?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
It's the usual stuff here. We're getting ready for Unicon and things like that. And that's the big news right there. And that's one of the reasons you've dropped into the show tonight is we're going to be meeting you, actually, at Unicon. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've been informed of this or not yet, Doug, but Ghostly Talk is actually sponsoring you. So I guess it's like Doug Bradley brought to you by Ghostly Talk or something like that. I know we're excited about that.
I didn't know that, but thank you.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, the thing was they asked us if we wanted to sponsor one of the attendees at Unicon, and I'm like, well, you know, who'd you have in mind? And they're like, well, how about Doug Bradley? And I'm like, wait, hang on. Doug Bradley. you mean the guy I used to watch, I still watch to this day, but growing up as a child, I used to watch Hellraiser films. This is the guy you're talking about that you want us to sponsor. And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, sign me up right now. So we're totally blown away by that. I don't keep up on my horror like I should be, but I have heard buzzes around the block that there is another Hellraiser film either being filmed right now or it's going to be released sometime down the road. Am I correct on that?
Not quite, no. What you're hearing is the announcement, Dimension at any rate have announced that they are going to remake the first Hellraiser movie.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
That was announced just about a year ago. Exactly what's going to happen with it, I really don't know. I know that Clive Barker is going to write it. I know also that he won't direct it.
Really?
And I understand that he's turned in a treatment. Whether there's a first draft of the screenplay or not at this stage, I have no idea. And whether I will be asked to reprise the Pinhead role at this stage, I have absolutely no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're hearing, but I would think it's a way off the cameras rolling.
Oh, yeah.
History is not on my side. When remakes get made, they don't tend to use the original cast. I'd be pretty pissed if I didn't get asked to do it, but, you know, it's the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
we'll see what happens.
Well, I think I share the opinion of millions of people out there that if Doug Bradley doesn't play Pinhead, it is not Hellraiser. Period. I wouldn't even call it a Hellraiser film if it's not you at the helm of that character.
Well, you're very kind, and the fans have been saying this to me in droves, and obviously it's very rewarding to hear people say that. I have to be hard-headed about it, and I have to say to you that I think, for example, you would probably have said the same thing when they announced that they were going to recast James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have said, no Sean Connery, no James Bond. And it doesn't seem to have hurt that franchise too badly. And the fans say to me, you know, we won't go and see it if you're not in it. And I say, well, you know what? You will. I will.
Well, I will.
And that's what Dimension are banking on. I say to the fans, look, one thing I can assure you is that the executives don't give a flying what's it about you.
Mm-hmm.
They only care about the almighty greenback, and if it will make money, then they will do it.
Mm.
And Halloween, which is also Dimension, the Weinstein Company, which is just I understand, broken the Labor Day weekend box office records.
Yes, it did.
That's an absolute copper bottom guarantee that the Hellraiser movie will go ahead.
You actually make a great point. I mean, and you know, I won't lie to you, Doug. I stand by my opinion that, you know, it's not a Hellraiser film unless Doug Bradley's playing Pinhead. But I would have to quench my curiosity and go see the film. I won't lie to you. I would probably go see it myself.
I'll be in there with you.
Well, you know, I just thought you talked about Halloween. We actually went and saw that the week after Labor Day weekend, and you know, that's a good point you made. I mean, it's like that film is a blockbuster right now. It was huge. But the thing was, I went and saw the film, and I enjoyed the back. Have you seen the film yet, Doug?
I haven't. It hasn't opened over here yet, so I haven't seen it. I'm hearing mixed reports about it, I would say.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you.
I pretty much know what's going on in it, but I'm hearing people who've loved it, people who didn't like it, people who think the first half of the film doesn't match the second half of the film.
Well, it does have a bit of it's a real jump forward in time. I mean, I personally enjoyed the first half of the film, but the second half is pretty much like every Halloween film. It really didn't break any. I thought they were going to try something new, but it didn't really break any new ground. It was just you know a better quality looking film. It looked better now. It's digital as opposed to just film, right? So that's all I really got from that film.
Okay. All right. But there it is. It's raked in the millions of dollars. So.
You got it. You're right. You're completely
mission
right.
Accomplished, I think they would say.
You're completely right about that. You're doing a one-man show called An Evening with Death. That's
right.
What it's called. And you're going to be doing this at Unicon, am I correct?
That's what I'm coming to Penn State to do, yeah.
Now, well, first of all, I'm going to sound like a goofy. I'm going to sound goofy saying this, but I'm totally tickled. I can't wait to see this. Is there anything that we have? I mean, what can we expect from this? I'm just wondering what this entails.
It's the show is about an hour and a quarter long. It's a portmanteau show, if you will. So it's a collection of writings by a whole range of different authors on the subject of the Grim Reaper. And I've written some of my own linking pieces to hold them together. So, for example, there's poetry from Amy Houseman, from Walt Whitman, Seamus Heaney. Right at the top, I've used the opening of The Hellbound Heart, which was, of course, the novella which Clive adapted as the screenplay for the first Hellraiser movie. So the lament configuration and a certain guy with pins in his head make an appearance at the top of the show, because I felt I had to get him in there somewhere. And there's Ray Bradbury and I've lightened it up as well. So I have a little section of famous last words. Humorous epitaphs on gravestones, and there's, of course, Shakespeare is in there. Couldn't do the show without him. So that's what it is. That's what I'm doing.
And it's a one-man show. It's just you up there doing this thing.
Just me. Yep. There are often nights when I start to think, you know, I'd really love it if someone else could just come on right now, so I could just have a conversation with someone, you know. But, it's just me flying by the seat of my pants for an hour and a quarter. And I've been doing it mostly at colleges and universities in the States around Halloween time for about 4 or 5 years now, and it's gone down really well. And I'm looking forward to bringing it to Penn State.
It's going to be a great time. You are the first person going. I mean, yeah, it's Thursday night that you're going on. You're like the first, first speaker / performer that's going to be making an appearance, and we're going to be right there with you. So that's going to be Thursday at UNIFCON, like we were saying. I just can't wait. I have to say, Doug, I've been a fan. I hate to do this stuff because I'm sure you hear it all the time, but I've just been a fan of the Hellraiser films since I was a child. I have all the films and tons of memorabilia and all that fun stuff. So it's going to be a real honor to finally meet you after all these years.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great time. You just finished another project too that you mentioned. You just finished recording an audiobook called Mr. Be Gone, and this was actually by Clive Barker. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's his new novel, hot off the press. It's not published as a novel yet, but it's due out very, very soon, I think, and as is the audio book. So I just about a month ago got a call from Harper Audio, would I do it? And I just recorded it a week or so ago, and that was great. It's I mean, people will know I have a pretty long working relationship with Clive, and it's always a pleasure to be able to wrap the tongue around his words.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Mr. Be Gone. Mr. B is Jacobok Botch, who is a demon who lived down in the ninth circle of hell. He gets fished, basically, up into this world somewhere around the 13th, 14th centuries,
mm-hmm.
And the book details his adventures in this world, really, and stories from his life. But the idea is that he's trapped in the book. So the opening and what he needs the reader to do is destroy the book in order to free him, liberate him from the book that he's been trapped in, which is a pretty neat idea. So actually the opening words, the first three words of Clive's new novel are, burn this book.
Oh my goodness.
And Mr. B spends the entire novel trying to persuade the reader to burn the book. Then he sort of, as a trade-off, okay, let me tell you something, a bit about myself, and so we have a bit of narrative, and then he says, okay, that's all you need to know. Now, come on, burn the book. It's a neat idea. It's for Clive, relatively short, it's almost like a 240-page monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time doing it. So I hope people will enjoy that. It should be out pretty soon, I think. They can keep track on that. I'll obviously be tracking news of it on my website, but also at harperaudio.com. Will, I assume, have all the latest news on that there as well.
Excellent. Sounds like you're keeping busy then, Doug. Sounds like... It's numbing to see, you know, the lineage that you've left. It just blows me away. Even if they do, I think, go and remake the original Hellraiser film, there's nothing they can take away from what you've done for the last eight films they've done with this series. It just blows me away. I've always looked up to Pinhead as a character. I was actually watching one of the bonus CDs or something like that with interviews and stuff from people, and I think you might have mentioned this actually, and it's kind of stuck with me concerning, you know, Pinhead as a character, and I think it may have even been you where you said that Pinhead is a poet. He's not just some monster. He's also a poet in a lot of ways. And when you listen to him speak, after I heard that, I actually would listen real close to what he was saying. And he was a very poetic, kind of like romantic sort of being, or whatever you call that. I mean, and it really kind of put the hook in me on that.
Well, very much so. I mean, it was one of the first things, obviously, that jumped out at me when I read the original screenplay for Hellraiser. And Clive, in a way, had made life very easy for me as an actor, because whereas everybody else in the movie is kind of talking in very, very kind of standard cinematese,
mm-hmm.
Pinhead rolls up and he has these wonderful lines, well-turned phrase, rich, poetic, darkly satirical language.
Mm-hmm.
And that was obviously immediately intriguing to me as an actor. Those are the things that you grab hold of straight away. You might approach it saying, well, okay, what am I doing here? All right, I'm playing the monster in a horror movie buried in latex. but wait a minute. What? No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering. Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
It's those lines.
Mm. And immediately, as an actor, you know, all the lights are going on, and you're saying, wow, now hang on a minute. This is something else. This is not just a boogeyman who's, you know, hiding in the shadows around the corner, waiting to jump out and slip the stiletto between the fourth and fifth rib.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole other level going on here. And in fact, with Pinhead and the Cenobites, there's a whole bunch of levels going on. So it was evident for me right at the get-go that there was a tremendous amount to explore here as an actor. And it was, I think, always credit has to be given to Clive that not only for Pinhead, but for all the Cenobites, including Chatterer and Butterball, who don't speak,
mm-hmm.
Clive insisted that he wanted actors playing those roles. It would have been very easy to have had a stuntman standing around in the Pinhead costume.
Mm-hmm.
And cheaper, probably, too, though God knows, couldn't have been much cheaper than I was on the first movie. But it would have been very easy to do that, and then just hire a professional voiceover artist at the end of the day to revoice it and just have the extra, just speak the lines. But Clive was absolutely clear that he wanted actors in the makeup behind the masks
mm-hmm.
to inhabit those characters, because they provide so much of the meat of the movie. I've always said with Hellraiser, you could almost take the Cenobites out of the story completely
mm-hmm.
in the first movie, and you've almost got a kind of pretty serviceable, love, revenge, love, death story going on between Julia and Frank. Julia driven mm-hmm. to hunt her victims and kill them to feed their blood, to bring her lover back to life from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that's a pretty strong storyline for a horror movie just right there. But
absolutely.
What Clive then does, and it's his genius in the Hellraiser movies, is put these things in, the Cenobites, and it just opens up a whole other level in the movie, kind of reinventing the gothic horror movie, I think.
Well, then there's nothing more gothic, I think, than the Cenobites, to tell you the truth. And I've never considered, you know, a lot of people, I mean, and I've heard this also in talking, and I agree with it. The Cenobites aren't necessarily, like, some people consider the Cenobites, well, they're the evil, they're demons, and I'm sure there is the line, you know, demons to some, angels to others. But, I mean, really,
yeah.
It seems like you got, you know, the Cenobites, as a character, Pinhead specifically, he's just kind of in the middle, kind of keeping an eye on things, and if you call on him, then he comes. He isn't the one committing the heinous acts, it seems.
I think you're absolutely spot on with that, Scott. I mean, I said a moment ago that as an actor, you might approach this project thinking, well, here I am playing the monster in the horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, very strongly, as we went on through the film and I spent more time with the script, I completely changed that opinion for myself, and I was beginning to think, well, hang on, no, I'm not the monster here.
Mm-hmm.
It's Julia and Frank who are the monsters, and really Pinhead is, as you say, a kind of referee, an impartial judge on what's going on. And as you say, if you never call him, if you never come into contact with the puzzle box, the lament configuration, if you never open that, and if you don't open it with the right motivation, you're never going to come in contact with him, because he's not interested in you otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the humans in the story are the real evil. That's period. That's the bottom
yeah.
line. Not the Cenobites.
Yeah.
I got.
They're not too cuddly. The
well, no.
Yeah, but But no, you're absolutely right.
No, I wouldn't want to deal with him, but yeah, I mean there is that's the beauty of the story though. I gotta tell you, we gotta close out here pretty quick, but I gotta tell you two things that are Hellraiser related to me, and I mean I'm lucky to have this opportunity to tell you this. The first thing was every couple of years I go on a major what I refer to as a Hellraiser binge, right? I just pull the films out. I might watch one of the films one day, and it just lights a spark in me where I just think about nothing, live nothing, eat, breathe, and just live Hellraiser, right? And it goes on usually for about 3 to 4 months, right? This happened to me a couple years ago, and I went completely bonkers, and all I was talking about was Hellraiser, Hellraiser, Hellraiser. Now two things happened during this time. The first thing that happened is I became one of those people that I guess you would refer to as a cultist, I guess, kind of, because I was reading it. I first started reading Hellraiser fan fiction, right? I started surfing the net and reading Hellraiser fan fiction stories, okay?
Okay.
Where people, and I was fascinated by some of the amazing stories some of these people were writing just for fun, right? I'm like, God, they could make a great script out of this. This is an amazing story, right? And it inspired me to write my own Hellraiser fan fiction story, okay?
Cool.
Which I kind of put my own fun spin on it, and what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, I might actually send it over to you guys and have you check it out if you want to get a good laugh, because it's actually very, very, very funny. It isn't all isn't serious like, you know, most of the other stuff I've seen written. So I may send that over so you guys can check that out.
Why don't you show it to me when I'm at the university?
I'll print out a copy and give it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we can do that. That sounds great. We can do that. That's cool. But that was the first thing that happened to me. Real quick, the second thing that happened to me, and this, you know, both of these situations actually directly relate to this radio show too. More severely, this situation, because one night it was during the same time I was searching the net for anything Hellraiser, right? And
yep.
I went and decided to search out the Lament configuration on Google. And,
okay.
Of course, I get a million things, you know, all kinds of neat stuff to look at, all kinds of fun stuff to check out. And
Did you find one for sale on eBay?
Oh, there's several of them, actually. There actually is. And this
How many souls did you have to pay to get
another one? Well, here's what happened.
Was anybody offering a working model for sale?
I have not seen one of those. Do those exist?
Well, you never know.
Well, what I did find, though, Doug, was, and you may have heard about this particular website. It's called the Pyramid. It's called the Pyramid Gallery, from AKA the third Hellraiser film, Hell on Earth. There was that place called the Pyramid Gallery. There's a website called the Pyramid Gallery.
You kidding me?
Yeah, there's a website called Pyramid Gallery. Right now, check this out. This is what happened.
I'm off upstairs to my computer as soon as we've done this interview to check this out. Go on, carry on.
It's pyramid-gallery.com. That's the website.
Okay.
What happened was I found this website, and they are doing reproductions of the Lament configuration, like models, right? And I'm like, well, these are pretty neat. And all of a sudden, there's like all these other different ones. There's not just the original Lament configuration. There's all these different types of, you know, toy boxes, right? I'm like, well, these are really beautiful, and the artwork's really nice, and it's very, you know, and they're really well done. Well, I start clicking on the boxes, and each box you click on, it tells you a story of how this box was made. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. So, and they're talking about Philip Le Marchant, you know, from the fourth film, they talked about Philip Le Marchant. And they tell this whole story about how Philip Le Marchant was, you know, an architect originally. He became a toy maker. And he started trying to build these puzzle boxes. The story, it's pretty in-depth, but basically they tell these stories about each box, about how many people he had to kill to make each box. Reason being is that in order the materials that he was using, he received from somebody else or whatever, and the only way he could get this metal to bend correctly is he had to boil this metal in human fat, okay? So the plot thickens, right? Now, here's what's up.
I think the human fat thickens, certainly.
Well, here's what happens. I am completely awestruck on this. I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't think that this Philip Le Marchant person was a real living person that lived in the 17th century. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. This is based on something true. Amazing. So I actually email. They call him the gallery administrator, right? And I say, hey, I do a radio show called Ghostly Talk. It's a paranormal-based talk show, but I think a lot of the stuff that you have on here is really interesting. I'd like to have you come on the show. I'm just blown away by this, right? So I email, I send the email off. I go back to what I'm doing. I do some more searching, and he's got a bunch of different references on the site that he references this book or that book or whatever. So I start following these references up, and these references are going nowhere. These books don't exist. Are you following me so far?
I'm with you.
So I look even further, and I finally realize that this is a Hellraiser fan fiction site. Okay?
Yeah.
So I end up having to email this guy back going, hi, I feel like a real ass right now because I thought this was, this was a real story, but this was something that, that you guys put together as a fan fiction dedication to Hellraiser. The gentleman who actually runs the website and makes these boxes, these reproductions, is a man named Max Lictor, and he actually came on the show anyways, and we had a nice conversation. But it was hilarious because I totally got duped on that. He did such a great job, I thought it was the real thing.
But you never did manage to meet Mr. LaMarchand.
I did not meet him, thank goodness.
No, probably just as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a couple of stories, though, out of the millions of stories out there, though, Doug. I'm sure there's people out there with a lot more stories like that, and that's because of because of Pinhead, because of, of Hellraiser, because that character, even though he is this grotesque, mean, evil, whatever you may want to call him, he's all these negative things, but he kind of has, I know he has a soft spot in my heart, let's just put it that way.
Okay. Good. Good. No, there was a point, particularly when Marvel started doing the spin-off comics, and that was tremendously exciting to see people just take the ideas, take the mythology, not necessarily the characters, not even necessarily bothering with Pinhead or any of the major characters who were in the original Hellraiser movies, just taking Clive's basic idea of the puzzle box and the Cenobites and just running with it in all kinds of directions. And that's really exciting when you see fans and creative artists getting so excited by something that they take it and make it their own.
That's exactly what makes it so exciting. And that's what had me so excited. I'm going to definitely bring a copy of that out for you guys to check out at Penn State, because I think you'll get a good laugh out of it. It's a lot of fun. I'm awestruck. It's such an honor to talk to you again, Doug. I want to thank you, though, Doug, for coming on the show, though. And we're going to be seeing you again at Unicom October 18th. Through the 21st, Doug Bradley is going to be there along with a host of other wonderful people. But if you want to find me, just look for Doug Bradley. I'll be there next to him probably going, hi, Doug. Hi, Doug. So I'll be your official stalker for the weekend probably, Doug.
Okay. I'll look out for you. I'm looking forward to it.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now,
You are going to be the solution.
Go
the media, become the media.